Good morning. It is an honor to be here this morning to share the word of God with you. Shall we bow down our heads even as we pray? Eternal Father, we thank you for a day like this, an opportunity to know you so as to draw closer to you. We pray that you speak to us, for the entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. Give us understanding. Open the eyes of our hearts that we may understand you. Even as your word is a lamp unto our path and a light unto our ways, may we never be the same. Shine on our ways. Shine on our path that we may not lose. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, before I share the word of God, may I humbly ask, you put your hands up, let me see, those who have Bible for themselves at home. Yes, I believe everybody has Bible. If you don't have one, please, I entreat you to buy one because of what I'm going to share. And it is so amazing and that we don't know what we have when you have a Bible. It is surprising, and sometimes when you come across certain verses, I mean, you don't know what to do because you wonder if these words have been in the Bible all these years, all this while. But today, we're tackling the title, The Disciple's Authority, as read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the verse 16, which I will read. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God's breath and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Amen. How or what does this mean? Why do we need to know this? And how was it given? And how did the disciples apply this breath of God unto their life? The answer is simple. We all know the meaning of disciple, which came from the Greek word matetes, meaning a learner and apprentice. So followers of Jesus are apprentice, a learner that continues. But we are actually aiming at the word, that breath of God, which is the authority. That authority means the right, the power. So in this case, I'm saying that the breath of God is having the right and power to make decision and enforcing obedience. It also denotes the authority of God. So it is the authority of God that we have. So as we have the word of God, it is God's breath, but it is a right. It is also a power that we have. This is why I said earlier that we may not know what we have. Why was it given? It was given to equip the Christ-like believer so as to live pure. Last week, Pastor was preaching and mentioned, and the theme was disciple and holiness. How can we be holy? We read Psalm 119 now. He said, how can a young man keep his ways pure? How can an adult please the Lord? How can we do this? How can we do that? There are so many questions that go through our mind. But in Acts 14:22, Paul cautions us that we must, through much tribulations, enter the kingdom of heaven. It means for us going to heaven, it is not something that we should take for granted. It is not going to be an easy task. It is going to be some trials, oppositions, difficulties, and tests that will come our way. One of such instances came the way of one of Paul's disciples called Timothy. And he was in the city of Ephesus and doesn't know what to do with these challenges that he was faced with. So he called on Paul to counsel him, to guide him. And this 2 Timothy 3, the verse 13, was what Paul counseled him with. You might be going through something today as a follower of Christ. You might be facing some challenges, some tasks, which sometimes it looks or seems easier to withdraw or to retreat. But the counsel today for you and I is that God's word, the Bible that we have, is God's own breath. And the Greek word used there, meaning the inspired word of God, is theopneustos. The theo, that is the word of God, God's word. And then the pneustos, that is the power or the powerhouse. So put together, we are actually talking about God's power or God's authority given to man. And this is where God speaks. And how was this given? It was given through men. Holy men pass it on. And the Lord breathed into them, or the Lord's breath passed through them, and then it became a word, and then they wrote it down. So as we see it today, it is God's breath or inspired word of God that has been passed on to you and I. That is the way it came. And in Genesis chapter 2, the verse 7, the Bible says, God formed man out of dust. So as we sit here, all of us gathered here, we were dust, clay. You see, when we were coming to this room, at the entrance, there is a carpet to shake off your dust from the shoe, because you don't need the dust. Wherever we go, we try to clean our shoes and our clothes because we don't need it. So dust is nothing, but it becomes something significant only when God breathed into it. So in this Genesis 2:7, human beings were clay, dust that God picked up, molded, probably as some water, and then breathed into it his breath. And then man became a living soul, says the Bible. This is where that dust, which was once insignificant, now become significant. So for you and I, there was a time where nobody, where nothing. But today, because God's breath is in us, we have become something to the glory of the living God. And if I want to give you some example, it's like the musicians blowing the trumpet. As they blow the trumpet, the air that comes from, probably, let me say their belly, comes into the trumpet, and then the trumpet, we hear the sound of the trumpet. But the trumpet are lying there now, trumpet or whatever it's called, xylophone, I don't know. But then, understand what I mean. You don't see their use, or you don't hear their sound, until someone breathes into them. I have a balloon here, and it seems nothing. You don't know the actual shape of this balloon, or you don't know much about it. But when I blow the air, excuse me, okay, I have the air in now. The air signifies my breath. So wherever I want this balloon to go, when I throw it, it goes wherever it's going, because the air is carrying it. And when it reaches you, and you decide to know where this comes from, the simplest one is probably take it to lab or somewhere, and then punch it, take the air, and then make research on it, and then you will know the DNA that is in it. So if I throw this balloon now, whoever takes it and then try to make experiment on it will not find any of you's DNA in it except my DNA. So when God breathed, it was God's DNA that we have. As we have the Bible, we are actually carrying God himself. So, God never dies. He's eternal. And because God never dies, his spirit will not die. There's no extinction of God's breath. So he exists. And as he breathed into the people through whom he passed the word, and they've written it down, this is why the word of God will never die. This is why the word of God is always fresh. You see, Isaiah 40, the verse 8, grasses wither. Flowers, we see them fade. Human beings die. Where are our forefathers, our great-grandfathers? Where are they now? They have come and gone. And as Jesus tarry, and we age to some extent, we also go. And then another generation will come. But the word of God remains the same. Because that's God's breath. And this morning, I want you to understand that though it is written in the word, it has become a written word now, it is still carrying the DNA of God. It is still God's property. Only that it is in a written form for us to be able to read. And every day and in every generation, people have it. And in Matthew chapter 24, the verse 35, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. Not even an iota from God's word will drop or will fail. You see, when this building is being built, they put so many things to sustain wind and everything so that this building wouldn't collapse. So when you stamp on it, it looks so strong. But the Bible is saying that this building will one day pass away. But the word of God will still be there. Because God will not pass away. So as we have the Bible in our homes and in our hands, we are actually holding something powerful. Only we do not have an idea or we have no clue what we have. We have something stronger. If we need to break something, it is even powerful and stronger than even dynamite. And just take it for instance. Secretaries or in offices or workplaces, someone is a manager and then the secretary will write words that come from the manager's mouth. Instructions which they want to post or put on the notice board for everybody to obey. It is just words that are coming from that person. But once it is put into writing, it becomes an information from the manager which has authority, which carries an authority that everybody reading it or passing by should obey it. So God breathed into the word, or God's breath was translated into the written word, that for us who sees it, read it, we have the capability to obey. And as you sit here and move, remember God's breath is in you. So you yourself, you are carrying the presence of God. You are carrying part of God in you. This is why it will be easier to connect with. You know, when you have a metal here, you have a magnet, when they are close together, it's easy to pick. But when you have a nail, a wood, and a magnet, they cannot go together. So for us human beings, this is what God has given us. So how possible can we live as disciples that holy life we talked about last week? There were a lot of things that we had last week. There were things that are wrong with our life, our mentality, the way we think, the way we respond to people, the way we do things, and then the sexual immorality, the kinds of sins, things that we have left behind and we have picked them back. But we can only do so when we actually understand that God's breath is with us, instructing us day by day to hold on to it. And when we hold on to them, it changes us. And that is why it is the only power, the source of power, that can change human being. In Ezekiel chapter 36, the verse 26, Bible says that God transforms man He said, I will pour clean water on you. So the word of God in that sense has become that clean water. That's the only power that can change man. We've had people been to prisons and they come back and change. Every 31st December, people made resolutions deciding that, well, I'm stopping this habit. Well, 3 days into January, they go back to it. So it is only the word of God, which is God's power, God's breath, the DNA of God, that touches man, and then man is able to change. And so, shockingly and surprisingly, Satan, our adversary, also recognizes this authority. So in Luke 4, the verse 1 to 11, we read a key account of how Jesus, after 40 days fast, he was led by the Spirit, and then Satan tempted him. With words from the same Bible, with God's breath, because he knew and he understood that that is the power of God. So if he uses this as a tool, Jesus will automatically bow to it. So as disciples of Christ, people may cheat us. People may mislead us. People may entice us. People may lure us into sin, even with the word of God, if we are not careful. This is why it is important for each and every one of us to know and understand that this is the breath of God written in a written form for every believer. And we have the task, we've been charged to learn and to know it so as not to be deceived. Because in Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus was talking about the signs of the end time, the first thing he mentioned was, "Watch ye therefore, that you do not be deceived." And you and I will agree that in this current world, deception is everywhere. But if we take hold of this authority, it will be difficult for people to mislead us, because this power of God, this breath of God, which has become a written power and authority, has become a lamp unto our feet and then a light unto our path. So wherever we want to go, we will shine. Even in darkness, we will be able to see. But Jesus himself knows this too well. So he quoted, taught, and trained his disciples from it. Acts 1, the verse 1 to 2, said, what Jesus began to do and to teach. So in every time that Jesus would make disciples, he used the word of God. When even faced Satan on temptation in Luke 4, the verse 8, he quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 8. So I want to encourage and entreat us that from Genesis to Revelation, every part of the word of God is important. I've heard many people say to me that, well, this is Old Testament. But I want to say that it is also part of God's word. It is God's breath that has been written. The last chapter of the book of the Bible, book of Revelation chapter 22, even God warns that anybody who takes away or takes something from it, his life will be taken from the eternal book of life. And if you add anything to it, Bible says that all the plagues that are written in the book will be placed upon you. Is that not fearful? So we dare not add anything. So how did the disciples apply the inspired word of God? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter used this authority to save souls. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. So Peter used that authority. He knew that that authority will help people to come to Christ. So in using it, 3,000 souls were won that day alone. That's how he applied the authority. Your ones are afraid, man. And the people, the council he met and he was talking to, they were, part of them were the people who persecuted Jesus Christ. And we knew that Peter, being afraid, denied Jesus 3 times. But where from this confidence and boldness now? If you need confidence, if you need boldness, the word of God is able to give you some. And he also used it and exert this authority over unclean spirit. So when you understand what the word of God is, you'll be able to use it anyhow in any time. So in Acts chapter 5, the verse 15, Peter got hold of the sick man with the authority, and that sick man got healed. Are you sick? The word of God heals. Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit who raised Jesus from the grave lives in you, he will give life to your mortal bodies. So if all of us here understand that this is the breath of God that is with us and is giving us this authority to use, we don't have much time, but we may exercise that faith in 2 seconds. So Philip also yielded himself to this authority. So in Acts chapter 8, the verse 26 to 39, he obeyed the authority by moving from where he was and met the Ethiopian eunuch on the Gaza, who was reading the scripture but couldn't understand. He explained to him, and the eunuch said, here is water. What will prevent me from being baptized? The eunuch didn't understand the scripture. He was just moving. He went to Jerusalem, returning home. He doesn't understand what he was reading. He doesn't know about water baptism. But because Philip understands this authority, he yielded to it, and then it worked. Will he yield to this authority so that through you, someone will be saved? So that through you, someone will experience a miracle? The disciples' authority. The authority is the word of God. The authority is the Bible. The authority for us today is the Holy Scripture that we hold. We have them in our homes, in our cars, in our offices and places, but sometimes we just put them down, and on many occasions you find them full of dust. And then when we come to church going places, we just do like this. It's time we keep them clean, because that is the power of God. So when you open the Bible like this, anytime you open the Bible, you should see that God's power is at work. It's already manifesting. And Peter again, in Acts 3:22, in Acts 3, the verse 2 to 6, he proclaimed over a man who was born from the mother's womb, lame. He turned to him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto it. Beloved in Christ, we have something, but we don't know we have it. And you can't give to someone what you don't have. This morning, I want to encourage you that you have something to give to others. Someone's salvation is in your mouth. Speak out. Someone's healing is in your mouth. Speak out. Use the word of God to pray for someone. This briefly, that's what we're going to do. It may sound odd, but I believe that the Lord wants to do something this morning. So if you tend to, 2 by 2, just tend to somebody and then tell the person that you have nothing this morning, but in the name of Jesus, may it be well with that person's soul. Please, can we do that? Can we do that, please? I'm asking for a favor. And I'm asking that, please, because we know and we read the word of God. The word of God is that authority. People are suffering among us. People are sick among us. People have different problems, challenges. Satan is at work and trying to hinder people not to go to heaven. But you and I know the authority today. If we exert it on that situation, things may change. Because God did not give it for nothing. He has given it so that it could be used. Bible say it is given as to rebuke people, to reprove people, to correct people, and also to encourage them. The word of God counsels people. When people are despair, when people are discouraged and they want to give up, many people commit suicide because there's no one to encourage them, no one to tell them something. But you and I know that God loves us and God loves them. So when we know that we have this authority, we'll be able to tell them that Jesus loves you. And maybe such a person have never had that love in his life. And that may stop that person from committing that suicide or taking some step which is not good. So I want to plead with you by the mercies of God this morning that tend to someone because God's breath is in you. So part of God is in you. And we are just vessels this morning to speak into somebody's life the favor of God. So please turn to somebody and say, I have nothing this morning to give you, but by the mercies of God, may it be well with your soul. Please do that for me. You don't need to stand, just turn, please. Thank you. I'm praying. Thank you. Father, in your name I pray. I do not have anything to give to my brothers and sisters listening to me. But one thing that I know, that your breath is in me and that your spirit is in me. Such as I have, I give unto them. I pray that through me, Father, visit each and everyone who is going through any situation, be it financial, job, situation that they do not understand, even health. Father, visit them in the name of Jesus. This is your word. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Father, because life is in my mouth, I declare life unto the congregation in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going on with the Lord's Supper. Please, those